Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Julia Alvarez, bestselling author of In the Time of the Butterflies and How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents, returns with The Cemetery of Untold Stories, a novel about storytelling that reminds us that the stories of our lives are never truly finished, even at the end. Alma Cruz, the celebrated writer at the heart of the novel, doesn't want to end up like her friend, a novelist who fought so long and hard to finish a book that had threatened her sanity. When Alma inherits a small plot of land in the Dominican Republic, she has the idea of turning it into a place to bury her untold stories. Literally, she creates a graveyard for the manuscript drafts and the characters whose lives she tried and failed to bring to life and who still haunt her. Julia Alvarez left the Dominican Republic for the United States in 1960 at the age of 10. She is the author of 6 novels, as well as nonfiction, poetry, and books for children and young adults. In 2013, President Obama awarded her the National Medal of Arts in recognition of her extraordinary storytelling. The latest is The Cemetery of Untold Stories, and before a live audience at the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, we welcome Julia Alvarez to this week's book show.
I think we figured this out. We've talked many, many times. I met you briefly at an event at the Bennington Museum. And then I believe we have talked for pretty much every novel for the last however many years. And this is the first event we've done live together. And I'm so excited. What a great pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you. Since you didn't thank yourself, thank you for doing this. And ditto to everyone.
So, immersed in story can sum up this book. Who can tell them, who can't tell them, where they go, how they should be told, when they should be told. How did that idea come to you initially?
Well, I always say when people ask me, where did you get the idea for this, that I don't work with ideas. If an idea knocked on my door, I probably would freak out and not open it. It's more, I call it a pebble in my shoe. There's a wonderful Spanish word for it, inquietud. It's a disquiet. You know, something is puzzling me. I'm curious. I have questions. And I write not because I have answers, but because I want to learn things, because I want to figure things out or map out a landscape. So with this book, I'm really interested, as I grow older, what the experience of aging is, and I've come up against a lot of ageism in novels where the old person is the little abuelita or somebody that's the grandmother that's the listening ear to the protagonist, or it's the old man who dies in a Victorian novel on the first page and he divvies out his will and then there's havoc for the rest of the novel. But they're background figures. I read in a way to map out the landscape of where I am or where I find myself going in my life. And so I'm more and more curious as I grow older about what is it like, what is a complex experience of aging and having that be my protagonist rather than someone delegated to the background, with the added thing of what's it like to grow old in a craft that you've spent a lifetime devoted to, surrendering to. Because, you know, when I was a younger writer, I have all these ideas and drafts and things I never finished and I got stuck in and research and boxes. And I always think, oh, someday I got to write that down because they're still in there. There's still a pebble in my shoe. As you get to be my age, you realize that's not going to happen. There isn't enough time. But they still haunt you. That was sort of the premise for this character of Alma in the novel, that she's at that point where it's closure. But what does she do with all the stories?
So set it up for us as to Alma, of the relationship that she has with her friend, the other writer, that sort of puts her in that place of making that discovery in her mind.
Well, in the beginning, we meet Alma, and she has a very close relationship with a famous writer and a friend, whom she sees is really driven to the edge by a novel that she just has been trying all her life to write and has not been able to finish. And with this relationship, it forces Alma to start thinking about, well, what, how do we who are writers and give characters shapely lives, how do we shape the end of our lives? How do we close? When do we stop being the literary version of the person who keeps striving to be young and has plastic surgeries and has to keep producing? And how do you give graceful closure to it? So that was where we meet Alma at the beginning of the story. What is she going to do with that?
You write, there weren't enough years left to tell all the stories she wanted to tell.
And in our Caribbean cultures, we believe in all kinds of spirits and possessions. And the writer, as well as an actor, I think, gets possessed by their characters. And how do you exorcise them? How do you lay them to rest? How do you make peace with the fact that you are going to abandon them to silence if you don't tell the story?
You mentioned plastic surgery, but you write, she was trying to hold on to the literary version of good looks, the plastic surgeries of astute agents and editors nipping and tucking the flagging work. Every worker knows to put aside her tools at the end of the workday, even that paramount narcissist, Prospero. That's a beautiful way of putting it.
Well, it's, you can hold on and hold on, but how do you make peace with an end of things?
Talk about the cemetery, the plot of land that is in Dominican Republic that Alma comes to, that is what the idea, which comes rather easily, right, to her, that this is what she wants to do with that plot of land.
Create a cemetery for the untold stories. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
How did you get to that place? How did Alma get to that place?
Well, again, to return to that, when I mentioned the Caribbean culture and the Santeria, that I've always, when I finish a book and I publish it, even the characters that I've already told their story stay in my head, and I have to find a ritual at the end of when I finish a novel so that they will quietly enter and possess my readers and leave me alone so I can go on to the next novel. But I still am thinking about them, and they're still in my head. So I have rituals that I do. For instance, in the time of the butterflies, when I was done with that novel, I went back to the Dominican Republic with a last draft, and I buried it in the yard of the Mirabal family house, where they now have a museum. So under the laurel tree are probably eaten already, because, you know, everything in the tropics decays and goes back to the earth. And so there they are. So I've always had these rituals for closure. And so what would be something that Alma would do for closure with novels that never did get written? So the idea of a ritual place, of a place where she can bury those manuscripts, seemed just like a good idea.
You so beautifully describe the boxes, all of the boxes of all the work, the unpublished work, the ideas, the starts, the finishes. And that's really the of what it is like to basically see your life in this, I would assume, in those boxes.
Yes, and mostly worrying about the lives of the characters, that because ultimately I'm not really that interested in the writer, Julia Alvarez. She's my eyes and ears and my nose and my senses and my little magpie that goes out in the world collecting things, which I need to write the story. So part of it is, it's not, as you move through the novel, you realize there's less and less of Alma and more the characters are taking over. And that's the way that I think that I'm just, some of the stories have come through me, and when I'm gone, thank God it's not après moi le silence, you know, après moi le déluge. They'll the stories will keep getting told. We're the critter that tells stories. So they will find their tellers. But in our celebrity cultures, we feel like we make such a big deal of the writer. And sure, you know, they put in the work, but other people put in the work, and we're just glad to get the milk. We're not always thanking the farmer. Well, some of us are, especially if they live next door, as they do where I am in Weybridge. But it's the work itself, and it keeps flowing. Stories don't stop. They have a root system. They'll come up somewhere else. And to understand that and make peace with that is part of, I think, how you have closure as a writer, too. That they will go on. Someone will read something that I wrote or someone else wrote, and the stories will go through them. And they've just come through me, and I've been lucky to be able to spend a lifetime doing the thing I love.
Julia Alvarez is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the new novel is The Cemetery of Untold Stories. So they come through you, but you then decide, this is your seventh novel. So you decide there are times where, okay, this is enough. We're not going to go any further with this work, and we'll start on something.
I don't decide that, Joe. I wish I could.
So who decides? How is it decided?
How is it decided? That's one of, you know, it's one of the mysteries of writing, that some of them you find the pulse and the voice and the rhythm and the characters, and you try as much as possible. You're the craftsperson, so you're driving the car, but they're the GPS. They're telling you where you go and what to do. And the ones I feel that I don't get done, if you want to call it that, are the ones that maybe I got in the way. So I don't decide. I have to be like Philomena in the book. I have to be a good listener of not just the characters, but the pulse and the rhythm of the story. And sometimes I just am not able to do that. Don't listen well enough. Don't have the skill. Whatever it is, but I have to. They don't come through.
But it strikes me that you don't see that as failure.
Oh yes, I do in the moment. Oh boy, you spent 3 or 4 years on something, and then what? They're not gonna. Are you kidding? That's hard, yeah.
But then that gets back to the question of the decision to say, okay, it's time to move on to something
else. Because you have
to
love the story more than you love yourself and your hard work. That's the thing. You've got to your loyalty is to the story. And when you're not getting it, and you try, and you go here and you go there, and you're not getting it, you let it go. The story arrived to me like things in my mailbox that say resident rather than Julia Alvarez. And I grabbed it because I wanted that deal. But maybe it wasn't for me to write.
Right.
You know, I don't have the skill, the animo, the energy, the ability. And so, you know, it's hard when you've spent that much time and you've got, you know, your agent and your editor and everyone waiting for it. And they'll say, no, it'll work that way. You're just nope, you know. You don't get a free pass on it. I couldn't do that, you know.
You mentioned Philomena, and Philomena comes to the cemetery and is taking care of these beautiful gravestones that have been worked on and created by Alma's friend,
yeah.
and who is quite a character, and then the listening. Philomena starts to listen, and the stories that come out of that plot of land are incredible. What was it you wanted her story to be, and why she was such a good listener and such a conduit for all of these tales?
Because she is a good listener, like a good reader, who totally surrenders to the story. As she says, you know, all the windows and doors of her heart were open, and there was more of the world that could get inside her because, you know, she's totally surrendered to these stories she's hearing. And part of the thing with Filomena is that, you know, I come from the Dominican Republic of an oral culture. I did not come from a literary culture. I didn't come from a reading family. I was not destined ever to be a writer. I didn't even like books or going to school or anything, but I love stories. When I got to my MFA program and was kind of feeling like I was an imposter because everyone was talking about what they were reading, you know, when they were kids and how they were writing, and I didn't know who my literary forebearers were or anything like that. And then once the courses got started, we started learning about elements of fiction, pacing, character, humor, how to time a story, and all of these things. I realized that I already knew those things, and I had learned them in childhood from all my family, and the culture itself was such a storytelling culture, and many of these storytellers were people who didn't even know how to read or write, but they were masters at the art of storytelling. And Filomena is like a natural. You know, I remember hearing Spike Lee, Terry Gross asked him on Fresh Air, what was the biggest lesson of his life? So the biggest lesson of my life is that I learned that you can learn things from people who are dumber than you. And they're not really dumber. You think in the moment that you know so much more than they are because they're uneducated, they don't know how to read or write, but they've got it. Mm-hmm. And so part of the novel is a kind of acknowledgement that I, as Alma, came from another origin culture, and in a sense that's why she wants to take the manuscripts and bury them there, because that's where they came from. And that is the root system of her storytelling, that they came from this other place that is often considered undeveloped. People are uneducated, and they are they're crack storytellers. They are amazing.
That's presented so beautifully, I think, in the second chapter of the book, of where Filomena comes to the gate of the cemetery, and to get the gates open, you tell a story, and it's that oral tradition you were talking
right.
about that allows those gates to open because of the amazing. She feels that she perhaps isn't worthy, and the story isn't worthy, and yet Alma feels that it very much is.
Right. To enter the cemetery, there's a little intercom at the gate, and you press the button, and a voice says, "Tell me a story." And depending on what story you tell, you get in or you don't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the people can't get in because their imaginations have been colonized. They'll try to tell something they saw imported from a Disney movie or a telenovela or something they think is the important story out there instead of the stories that are, you know, rich and based in their own background and roots and whatever. She tries a bunch of things and they don't work. And so finally she tells a secret. And that gets her right in.
Do you feel in your telling that you're often telling secrets?
Well, I always used to tell my students that when they have something they're really uncomfortable and uncertain and a little nervous about writing, there's gold in them hills. There's water in that ground. That's where to go. Because the safe, already prepackaged and digested stories, you feel that kind of slickness to them. And they don't have that juice in them of discovery that is partly the writers coming to terms or discovering where that story will take her.
The stories that are told and what comes from Filomena with these characters is amazing and gripping and just beautiful. And I'm interested in, so your role as storyteller of telling us those stories, again, as you were saying, realizing that this was the way that
it was to be told. This is the way that you wanted it to be within the context of the novel, within that mm-hmm. within that part of Philomena and the stories that she is hearing.
And her own story.
And her own story.
Blossoms from that. And then we get connected to the barrio that surrounds and all the stories interconnected.
That's the root system.
The root system. And that's the thing with stories that, you know, that stories are what connect us. The stories we share are the things that can hold us together and make us realize that this very other person actually has some things that are just like us. Or that we that believe that this is our little gated community of self, that really we're a lot like this person or from maybe another century, another race, another culture, that we share something. And it's a connective tissue, our stories. In fact, the Aborigines in Australia believe that every generation, that the world is held together, the earth, by song lines, story lines. And every generation has to sing them anew to keep the world, the earth, together. And so there's something, I mean, and this is a primitive culture, and people that are not of the so-called first world, and they have this kind of understanding of the importance of our stories. But it's also not just a big love song to story, because part of the novel is also, it's a kind of meditation on story. What is it that a story doesn't allow us to see beyond its bubble of imagination? You know, stories can be used in unethical ways, too. Stories have their limits. And so part of it is to be alert and aware of what are the limits of the story.
And how much that comes from the story and how much that comes from the storyteller.
Right, right, yeah.
When you spoke a moment ago about singing anew and the stories that can come from us, why aren't we better at that? You talk about your culture.
Yeah.
And the Caribbean culture. So what are we doing wrong?
Oh, no. It's not. No, there's no hierarchy. There's no hierarchy. Oh, my gosh. In our Latin American Caribbean countries, you know, dictatorships have risen up and they have the official story.
Thank God that hasn't happened here.
Oh, no. Right. and here we see it, too. That's what I mean. A story can be used to manipulate and obfuscate what's going on. So we have to be, as storytellers, we have to be responsible and aware about what we do and what we put out there.
How do we then tap into our root system to be able to open ourselves up more fully to tell and to create and to imagine and to share?
Well, I really think reading is the basics. You know, when you're reading, it's opening you up, and you're listening not just to the storyteller. It helps you to listen more carefully to yourself and to what's going on. It opens up, because this is what happens to Filomena. As she hears this story of Bienvenido, she hears Manuel's story, it connects with something, her own story, and something she didn't see before, or some way of understanding. And that kind of interaction between what we read and our own perceptions is the power of reading, and why I think it's so important. You know, the first thing that a dictator bans is books and readers and intellectuals, because that's dangerous. You know, you're allowing all kinds of possibilities to happen. And I think in some ways we think in our information-glutted age that we are really interconnected. But, you know, there's an algorithm feeding us the stories that are going to sure. get us to buy things and to vote for someone or whatever. So it's not, we have the false idea that is keeping us really informed. But meanwhile, we're losing the grip on, you know, listening to ourselves and to our neighbor. We can't access them through a device. They're the sheep farmer next door. There's the guy, you know, the guy from Casella coming to collect the garbage. They're Daisy who delivers our, you know, these are people. Any of these people, you talk to them, and my gosh, what a wealth of stories. And, you know, it's not just to get into the cemetery of untold stories that you press the button, you tell a story, and you get in. I feel like we're all walking around, and there's a little button here, and nobody ever presses it because they're too busy pressing into their device. And then the little button here says, let me tell you my story, or tell me your story. We're becoming deficient in that deep listening and deep connection with ourselves.
So what questions did you answer as you completed this novel?
See, I think it's sort of like when I put out suet or a bird feeder, The questions attract stories and characters. And you know, if you have the answers, it's like the bird feeder's empty. I mean, there's nothing for them to come to. So I'm full of questions and wonderings and musings. And I don't think a story ever answers something like in a definitive way, but it provides a landscape of possibility and nuance and further questions. So I think of The Cemetery of Untold Stories as the portrait, not the portrait of the artist as a young man, but the portrait of an artist as an old woman, and what that part, you know, what that stage of life is like. And answers, I'm just at sea in the mystery of story and all its possibilities, both negative and positive. And I think that it's just an exploration.
Julia Alvarez's new novel is The Cemetery of Untold Stories. It is published by Algonquin. Thanks to our producer, Sarah LeDuc. Write to us at book@wamc.org. Special thanks to Northshire Bookstore, northshire.com. The latest on national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at WAMC.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.